The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. P&Cs apply. In app only.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
All right, Farrell on the bench. So the Lakers are up in this game over the Warriors, but they can't really shake them. I've noticed that much is true. It's 46-41 Lakers, 6.5 left in the second. And so far, Curry with 8, Iggy with 8. I can't even believe that he's dealing. I thought he was shot for sure. LeBron has 16, Davis 14. Nobody else has done. Jack Mello's got 5 in his 11 minutes of burn. And they're at Staples playing. You know, last year, Curry averaged 32. He was unbelievable, led the league. And he's just so dangerous, it's not even funny. You got to admit, Carver High, watching him is worth the price of admission. I mean, every night the guy just never ceases to amaze me, the buckets he pours in, whether it's outside or inside. He gets to the 10 for a little guy. I mean, like nobody's business.
When he is completely healthy, he puts on a show, that's for sure. I mean, inside, outside, the shimmy, you know, the whole deal. He puts on a show. That's why it's always good when he's at 100%. It helps the league, helps the Warriors, and it makes them extremely relevant, no matter what else is going on with that team. They're always in the mix as long as Curry's healthy.
So when you look at the Lakers and this team out there with, like, LeBron, AD, Rondo, Dwight Howard on the floor right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously Monk's out there as well. But, like, do you think they look super old to you? Like, you see Brody over on the sideline when he's not in the game. He's got giant ice packs on his knees. It's game one, and the guy looks like he's just had surgery and had both of his legs amputated. He's sitting over there with ice bags on, like the gigantic ice bags, and he's coming back in the game. I think that's normal business for him with the knees. But when you watch this team, do they just look old to you?
I mean, yeah, and that's going to be the knock on them or the thing that everybody's going to talk about all year. I mean, it's only night number one. And we're saying that they look old. You know, I mean, they got 81 games to go. I mean, I think that that's going to be something that it's just going to be a theme with the Lakers all year. And every time any guy on the team gets even dinged up a little bit, it's going to go, well, told you, Lakers are old. Lakers are old. See, this guy's out. This guy's out. Lakers are old.
Yeah, they're up 3 right now, and they look sloppy. I mean, they're all over the place in this game, to be honest. I've seen nothing impressive about really anything they're doing. I really don't. I see a bunch of crappy possessions and crappy shots. I mean, they've had some steals, and Rondo just had another one, but Rondo pulling up from three and shooting an air ball is what I'm seeing. He missed the basket by 4 feet. I mean, this guy pulls up on the wing and shoots an air ball and misses everything by 4 feet. I mean, that's a problem. So, and it's still the Green and Curry show in San Francisco. That's for sure. We welcome our radio affiliates to the bench. We're waxing the mahogany on a Tuesday night. And we're watching opening night Warriors, the Dubs at the Lakers at Staples, sold out in Lipstick City. What a night in Los Angeles to have. There's Curry backdoor, misses the layup. I've seen it all. I have seen it all. And his finger got caught inside the rim. No bucket at all. I can't believe he just missed that backdoor cut layup all by himself. He looked like me missing a layup last week in the Ballers game all alone by myself.
What do we got? Tomorrow night? Wednesdays now is Baller Night?
Wednesday night is Baller Night. We got a game tomorrow night. I have I've never heard of this team we're playing. There's new teams in the league. The league is full. There's eight teams. And so there's a lot of players. There's a lot of new players.
No spread.
We're what?
No spread for tomorrow then. New team. We don't know who it is.
Yeah, there's gotta be a spread. There's gotta be a spread. I mean, a lot of people think that, you know, what did we win by 22? Most people are saying things like, you know, they'll win every game by 20. So I would think that, you know, this thing would be at least probably 14 or 15 tomorrow. We're playing some team called Splash. Funny, there was a team previously in one of the years I played called Splash, and they won the championship. But this is not that team. This is another team that, you know, of all the names they came up with, they used some old team that won the title's name, which is basically uncool where I come from. You can't, like, borrow someone's team name and then, like, you know, especially a team that won a championship. You can't,
it's probably like
use their name.
Just like a generic name that the league gives out to teams that don't have names. Like, we're just going to call you Splash. That's it.
We're going to call you Splash.
They didn't come up with it themselves. The league just gave them that name.
Well, one team, there's a guy that plays with us. His name's Asa, and I call him Ace of Spades, and they named the team Asa. And I was like, what's happening here? And, like, some people don't like the Pharrell Ballers, but that's because we've been in 17 title games. Should be 18 because the game got canceled because of COVID. But I'd say we should be favored by 14 tomorrow. Jose Altuve going deep over the wall. The monster to tie it up in the eighth inning with a no-out home run to make it two apiece. How about that shot, Carver High?
A big blast from the little guy hitting the sign right above the monster out there in left. And now Brantley gets a hit, too. So tie game now in the eighth, and Houston has a man on with nobody out. So kind of like, you know, this is very similar, Scotty, to this afternoon. You know, the Braves were a couple of outs away from taking a commanding 3-0 lead. Red Sox here tonight, a couple of outs away from taking a commanding 3-1 series lead. And now the Astros are back in the mix. Let's see if they can do what the Dodgers did and make this a series.
Yeah, I mean, they seem like they got them right where they want them now. All of a sudden, if they get another run, they'll probably win the game. I mean, this is their chance. One on, nobody out. And Whitlock is pitching, who no one's ever heard of before, against Bregman, who's 1-for-3 in the game. So the Astros have shown life. But now a double play ball. That's money. Ooh. Right to short. They get two. And that'll help Boston's cause. Were you surprised today to learn of the, you know, we were going to go to that Canelo plant fight in Vegas. At least we thought we were going, right? And then now that's not happening either. They're fighting still. They're you know, November 6th, they're going to have that fight in Vegas that's still going down, but we're not going to go, which I found interesting, to say the least. Were you surprised that they decided not to have the national media there for that fight? I guess just they're, you know, it's weird to me. I don't know about you, but I've noticed since the COVID year, they've just never done boxing again. They just don't do it. They just don't have the boxing promotion the way they used to, where everyone would go and we would do the fights. For 30 years, I've been doing it. And you have to admit, they just don't do it anymore.
No, it seems like they're, you know, kind of still on somewhat of a pause, to where maybe after the new year, maybe next year, they'll start ramping it back up a little bit more, but they just haven't done it yet since the pandemic hit.
Well, I think it's stupid, because I just don't think, frankly, that anybody cares about these fights. And it's because they're not promoting them. They just, you know, you have to admit, like the Fury Wilder fight, all that you saw for promotion of that fight was, you know, commercials on ESPN for 5 days. That was it. There was nothing else. And now this fight, no one cares about this fight. No one's talking about this fight. It's in 3 weeks. And then what about, you know, Crawford and Porter? Did you even remember that they were fighting? I mean, honestly, no one talks about boxing ever, anywhere. Tell me where, nope. When, how.
No, nope. Nobody, the sport is not promoted probably the way that it should, and it shows.
Well, it was promoted when we were going to the fights and doing our show from Vegas and promoting the hell out of pay-per-views and getting people interested in the fights. But when they don't do that, you can't deny that it hurts the sport. It's just as simple as that, whether they like it or not. I'm not going to not talk about it. I don't care if I go, whether I go or not. I've gone to 5 million fights, but I just think that it's bad for boxing that they're not promoting their big fights. Like, you have to admit, there's absolutely no one talking besides me this very minute about Canelo and Plant. I mean, I know they're fighting because I like boxing, but name one thing you've seen about that fight besides nothing.
Zero. Zero.
Well, tell me how that's good for the sport.
I mean, it's not, but I mean, this is, it's been tough. I mean, even when they were having people promoting the fight, it's some of these fights don't get the kind of publicity that they probably should. Now they get even less.
I told you earlier, there's like a liquor involvement in it, a liquor sponsor involvement in it. You know what they should do? They should have everybody start drinking that liquor, because they're going to need it. They're going to need it the way they're promoting that fight. It's a failure. I mean, if no one's talking about it and no one's promoting it, who the F is going to buy it? Besides no one. It's Saturday night. It's against college football. And everybody knows that, you know, for the most part, what do people do on Saturday night? They either lay on the couch and watch college football, or they go out with their wife or girlfriend to some dinner at a restaurant or a party or something of the like. And then Sunday, it's more of the same. Watch NFL football all day and eat junk food. But how many people do you know that are like, you know what I'm going to do tonight? I'm going to spend $100 on a pay-per-view boxing event. Tell me anyone that does that.
Nobody.
Right? And then the UFC crams, 6,000 pay-per-views a year onto Saturday nights. Who do you know that is paying for all those? Besides the people that, you know, will do anything, they'll sell their firstborn to steal it. Everyone I know wants to steal the fight. Do you know anyone who wants to pay for it?
No.
There you go. So you can have all the pay-per-views you want. That's the difference, is that they all think that everybody's going to pay for their pay-per-views. And they brag when 1 million people buy the pay-per-view, which is fair enough. It's a lot of money, and 1 million people buying it, it's a lot of money. But in reality, when there's 350 million people and there's 1 million people that buy the fight, That's a colossal failure. Am I wrong?
You would think so. I mean, they can't possibly expect to, in today's day and age, with how little people care about the sport to begin with, that they're going to get big numbers.
I mean, are you kidding me? And which one do you think does better? I think, you know, the bottom line is the UFC does better than the boxing now.
Oh, absolutely. It's not even close.
Not even close. And then how about, like, Bellator? They put it on Showtime so you can actually watch it. I think more people are getting into that because they don't have to pay for it.
Definitely helps that having it on Showtime and not having it on pay-per-view, especially your bigger fights.
I mean, how many of those fights do you buy, like, as a pay-per-view? If there's a UFC event on a Saturday and there's an Islander game, I already know your answer. You're watching the Islanders.
It takes a lot for me to be involved. You need to have a lot of juice in the fight, which is very rare nowadays.
I mean, you only want to watch the biggest, most gigantic fight ever. If it was Poirier and McGregor, that's the fight you'll watch. One fight, like the main event, that's it. You'll do anything to watch that one fight. But the rest of them on the card, you could give a rat's ass about.
There's no shot I'm watching any of the other fights. There's no shot.
And then so you're looking for a way, like the Mob Bar or whatever, to have those fights on because you're not paying a hundo to see one fight.
I won't pay that for any fight.
There you go. So looks like we won't be at the Lobby Bar for the Canelo plant fight. Looks like we won't be rolling to the Lobby Bar or hitting the In-N-Out Burger. Looks like we won't be going to Sin City after all. Looks like our best shot at Vegas will be the Super Bowl bash down at Circa.
Man, what a scene at that place.
Whew. That stadium swim they got going there is just outrageous, dude. I mean, that is a divorce waiting to happen.
Certainly is.
I mean, what a scene of leg they got going there. It's Pharrell on the bench. You know, Carver High had, we had the hurricane, right? And then, remember, I think you remember we had shows where we were talking about, we had like hailstorms and stuff. And right. I had like massive damage to my roof from giant chunks of, you know, you've seen my, I live in the woods, right? So I have these enormous trees and a lot of them came crashing down on my roof and like, you know, giant limbs and big chunks of trees just came flying through the air and smashed my roof. And believe it or not, it cut holes in my roof. Giant holes. I had like three of them. Right. And then there was like this hailstorm and it caused massive damage as well. So the next thing you know, they came out and they, you know, saw this damage that whatever the hurricane and these hailstorms caused. And luckily I was able to get a new roof. Here's a drive, but it's not far enough to the track. 2-2 still after 8. But so I got the roof done and I told you now I'm doing the Ferrella driveway project this week. Thursday and Friday, it looks like that's all evolving where we're my driveway's fried. So we're fixing that. And I'm having it widened and lengthened so that I can create a better, frankly, basketball atmosphere in the driveway. Because now what happens is you've been over. I have the short driveway where at the end where they shoot. If you miss and it goes off the rim, it bounces into my neighbor's yard over his fence. And then trying to get the ball out of the guy's yard, you have to use a shovel. And even then, it doesn't just come out. You know, you don't just scoop it up and bring it back over. You have to, like, jimmy it up the wall to get the ball to come over the fence. And meanwhile, you know, he's not out there, like, helping get the ball. This guy, he's not there, right? So when the ball goes in his yard, it's up to us to get it out. There's only one way to get it out, with the shovel, because you can't go into his backyard. It's closed off. So it's just a nightmare. So I'm moving the basketball court over. I'm actually moving it 30 feet away from his fence so that it's kind of more in the backyard and in the middle of this giant big new driveway. So hopefully now we'll have arcing 30 foot threes from both sides, as opposed to just, we only had one side you could shoot a three from, the right wing. And then if you miss, it goes right into the guy's yard. It's a nightmare. So now I'm moving away from this guy's yard and into more of the middle. And by doing so, the driveway is better for everything, parking the cars and for playing basketball. So a huge project going on at the Ferrella Palatial this week. And I've already completed the other ones, got the roof done, putting in new drainage systems and gutters on Sunday. But by Friday or Saturday, the driveway will be done. It's all coming together nicely, Carver High. Massive fall foliage projects at the Ferrella Palatial.
Yeah, that's good. You've got a lot of things going on there. I'm hoping that I'm going to get a couple going next year in the spring. Got to do a lot of work on the house. A lot of work.
You're gonna ride out this winter, though, as is?
Yeah, definitely. Too much going on. So hopefully, because I got large, lot of projects to be done. I need one person to do them all.
And you're doing, right now you're still in, Willie mode, brand new baby.
Yeah. He needs to sleep a little bit more.
He becoming a rebel?
He's like a ninja now. Like he's just like trying to climb everything. He doesn't sleep. It's a tough scene over here.
He doesn't sleep. So what does he eat now? And instead of eating and just going right to sleep, he just eats and then wants more food and then gets angry that he's not getting more food.
Yeah, he just wants to stand and rumble, and he just wants to, you lay him down. He's not having it. You don't want nothing to do with sleeping.
How old is he now?
8 months.
So he's, how long till he starts, when do they start walking? At around a year?
Yeah, it ranges. 10 months, 11 months. Olivia started 11 months. I mean, this kid probably be a little bit earlier. He's already standing and holding, he'll stand on his own if he's holding something. So he's getting close.
Does he get rowdy when, so she's around getting rowdy, that just spurs him on?
Yeah, it doesn't help when she's around, because that just makes the situation completely worse, because he just, he won't rest or nap if she's around. There's no shot.
What does he think of her? Like, is he just all enamored with her? And what does she think of him? Does she like him being around, or does she find him to be... she's cool with him, or does she find him to be in her space?
I mean, she's mostly cool with him. There's times where she takes it a little too far, and she could be a bit of a pain with it. Like she'll get in his face, or she'll push him, or she just gets. But I guess that'll probably toughen him up. Correa
shot to the wall here. Correa. A leadoff double in the ninth. Correa.
Now, why do they got Evaldi in the game? Like, what are these guys doing with the? I don't get it sometimes.
So, hello.
Whoa,
tell me about Cod. About the Cape Cod Open. You didn't tell me how that went.
Good weekend. Very good weekend. Had to come home early on Saturday. Didn't make it to Sunday morning. Olivia was sick at the house. Nicole ended up having to work. It was on Sunday morning, just became a complete disaster, and I had to leave after the presentation on Saturday night. So there was only got in one really good day of drinking. There really was no drinking on Saturday because I knew I had to drive home. So played great.
Well, Olivia, she got sick, and you had to come home and watch her or something?
Well, yeah, because Nicole was supposed to work Saturday morning. While I was gone, and her parents were gonna watch him, and then She had to take him for COVID tests, get to the doctor, that whole deal. So she didn't go to work. She has no days off because she was just off for, you know, 6 months. And so they said, listen, you got to work tomorrow then. Unless she's got a positive test, then you obviously have to stay home with her. The kid was negative, thankfully, but then she's got to work. So I got to come home. That's it.
Is what it is. You drove home Saturday, got home, and then back to normal.
Yeah, total grind on Sunday. Total grind.
How did you hit him?
I hit him good, actually. I played really well. I played really well both Friday and Saturday, so I was happy. Friday, I got real torn up. I mean, that was like a solid 15, 16 hours of drinking. I mean, the whole route. I mean, the golf, sit-down dinner, out with Cousin Sean till 3 in the morning. I mean, that was a full run on Friday.
Full run. The full meal deal.
Yeah, yeah.
So tomorrow night, or Thursday, the Broncos play the Browns. I heard you today say that you think the
Browns
will still win the game with all their problems. Yeah. Their whole team's in a mass unit at the hospital.
The Broncos are so bad, they'll still lose to the Browns on Thursday night. They're just not a good team. They're just not good. And the Browns will find a way to win some ugly, 14-10 game. They'll win some ugly game against the Broncos on Thursday night.
The Broncos are getting 4 in that game. Do you think
that's enough? The line's a little tough only because I feel like it's probably like a field goal type of game. 4 is a little tough for me.
God, you would think that they would that's
amazing that line has gone that opened at 3. And it's gone to 4, even with all these guys out for Cleveland. That the line's still moving towards the Browns. It tells you something. It just does.
So you think,
it's still 3 on at a couple places.
It's 3.5 now, actually. It's gone from 4 to 3.5. You would think they'd be able to cover 3.5 against the Broncos, even with all their problems that Baker Mayfield with one arm, the arm that he throws with, he should be good enough to drop back and throw sling passes the whole game to whoever. But well, they've had injuries. Odell's already banged up. Landry's banged up. They've been basically throwing to Peoples Jones.
I've seen good passing offenses like the Broncos up the last couple. I mean, I saw Carr rip them up on Sunday. Lamar Jackson had a big game against them the week before that. I don't think Denver's any good. Don't think they're that good. So if the Browns can just piece a little something together here on Thursday night, I'm backing them. I'm on the Browns.
You've heard about their big defense with Von Miller and company. I've been hearing about it all year.
That's old news. That's old news.
That's just bunk.
Old news. Then they beat three tomato cans the first 3 games of the year. Honestly, I mean, the Giants, the Jaguars, the Jets, get serious.
There are actual sharps talking about the Broncos winning this game outright.
Well, good for them.
Good for them. Carver High's not having it. He doesn't care about sharps. He wants to beat their ass. It's Pharrell on a bench. Wow, what a scene. Uvaldi pitching, 2-2 count, 2 outs, runners on first and second facing Castro, throws the curveball on the outside part of the plate. That was right over the plate. I mean, that was literally right over the plate. Did you see that?
I am about to see it right now. I have the 1-2 pitch coming.
Watch that 1-2 pitch right over the plate. I mean, right over the plate. I mean, not even on the outside of the plate, right over the meat of the plate.
It's close. It's a little high.
When they show the replay, you're going to see it went right over the meat of the plate.
But a little high. I think it was more high than anything else. I think it was on the corner, but high.
This is why they brought Uvaldi in, because they're in big trouble here. They get this hit, the game's over.
This is his throw day.
And there's the hit. There's the game-winning hit.
Well,
Correa's safe. 3-2 Astros. There you go, Castro with the winning hit. Can you believe that? I'm telling you, that was a strike, and that was the inning. And then, and he's livid. Yavaldi's livid about the call. I can't believe they're not talking about that being a strike. I mean, it was literally right over the plate, the curveball. And now, that's the pitch that now they're showing it over and over. He's livid. He's screaming at Cora. He's mad at the ump. You can't, that is not, that's, there's the hit that, that was the Castro hit. But the first thing they did was show that curveball on the outside of the plate, but it was dead over the meat of the plate. It wasn't even outside. It was right over the plate. I thought it was a strike. Game over, inning over. And I just thought it was a bad miss by the ump. And then the very next pitch, the guy gets a single. You knew that was inevitable. And now Altuve's up again, and there's runners on the corners. He'll probably blow the game open right here. So his home run tied it in the eighth. And he's 2-for-16 in the series with 2 home runs and 4 RBIs. But that home run was big tonight to tie this game. And now they're about to steal this game unless the Red Sox can get something going in the bottom of the ninth. Because all this is happening in the top of the ninth. And that's a huge hit for Castro. And off Yavaldi, who's, you know, along with Sale, their best pitcher, right? At least.
Yeah.
I think Yavaldi's been way bigger for them than Sale. Sale came in late in the season in September. And then Yavaldi's been, you know, since the beginning, belly to belly, been their best pitcher. But he got lit there by Castro with the rope to right.
This is Evaldi's throw day, which is why he's in there. He's going to start potential game 6 on Friday.
Yeah, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So game 6 in, you mean, in Houston?
Yes, on Friday.
There you go. So tomorrow night, we actually have a good football game. What do you think of that Coastal ranked 14th, 6-0, playing in Appalachian in Bern, North Carolina? What do you think their chances are of winning at App State, laying 5? That's a tough bet.
It's a tough bet, but I like Coastal here. I think they're a much better team than App State, even on the road. I'm willing to lay the 5. And listen, you don't get short number with Coastal like this very often. As we know, usually you're laying a ton of points with Coastal Carolina going on the streets. I'm all right with it. Little worried with Appalachian State. They got whacked against the Raging Cajuns last week, if you remember, that 41-13 game.
Yeah.
They got absolutely worked. So, listen, they're going to be up for this game. Coastal beat them last year. I'm in on Coastal. I think anything under a touchdown, I'm willing to lay with Coastal.
It opened at 3.5. I sure like 3.5 better than 5. I'll tell you that much. This team is something else. Their offense, they score. I mean, they put up points. They are no joke. Look at.
I don't think App State will be able to hang with them in that aspect. I think that Coastal's going to score enough to where they're not going to be able to keep up.
They've scored over 50 points in their last 3 games, and they've scored over 50 points 4 times. 49 points another time, and their worst game was 28-25 at Buffalo. Other than that, they've blown everybody out. And, you know, obviously they're trying to run the tables. They got Troy at home, Georgia Southern on the road, Georgia State at home, Texas State at home, and they finished at South Alabama on the day after Thanksgiving. And I'll tell you what, that'll be a tough game. South Alabama's not bad.
They're not bad, but this is, I believe, the toughest game left on their schedule is this road trip to App State tomorrow night. Toughest game remaining.
Appalachian State has beaten them 6 out of 7 times that they've played them. And, I mean, you talk about owning them. Appalachian and Coastal have combined to win the last 5 Sun Belt Conference championships. Coastal beat them for the first time last year, 34-23 at home. They've won seven straight on the road, but has never won at Kid Brewer Stadium. They're 0-5 there.
Mm. Yeah, but those were different Coastal teams. This Coastal team take care of business.
App State's 79% win percentage since 2015 is sixth best in the nation. Thursday night, there's even more college football with Tulane at SMU. The Stags are ranked 21st. They're laying 13 and a hook. And FAU and Charlotte are playing in Charlotte. Florida Atlantic, the Owls are laying 7. Louisiana and Arkansas State at Ark State. Louisiana's laying 18. You saw what they did to App State. And then San Jose State is at Vegas at the Allegiant, taking on UNLV, and San Jose State's laying 5. That was one of my favorite bets last week, was San Diego State winning at San Jose State. But San Jose State, the Spartans, covering the 9.5, and they did that. They lost by 6. I hit both ends of that game. You know, Saturday night, San Diego State plays at Air Force, and, you know, they only have one loss, and they're playing in Colorado Springs. And the Aztecs are undefeated, 6-0. I think Air Force is 6-1, something like that. How good is that game? That might, you know, there's a lot of good games in college football, ranked games. I think that might very well be the best one.
Yeah, and you get one of those situations, kind of like with the UCLA-Oregon game, where you have the unranked team being favored over the ranked team. Air Force right now, you know, 3, 3.5, depending on where you're doing your shopping, favored over San Diego State on Saturday night, just like UCLA is right now, 2.5-point favorite over Oregon.
There you go. The bent, the bases clearing double by Brantley. It's 6-2 now, and it's time to head for the exits.
We got a series, baby.
Come up big tonight.
2-2.
At least the over hit.
Did it? Yeah. What? Not yet.
Well, right? I had it at 7.
Here. Yeah, it was 10 before the game.
Oh, was it? What am I thinking? The other one was 7.
Yeah, the other game was 7.5.
Oh, so this thing's not there yet.
No, they need a couple more to get the over. 10 was the number.
It's your boy Dusty celebrating.
Dusty excited.
Now you got a series right now after this win. Now you're 2 apiece, and it's a best of 3. Right? It doesn't get any better than this. So do you think San Jose State can go to UNLV and the winless Rebels and handle their business and handle 5? Or do you think UNLV gives them a game? I bet UNLV gives them a game.
I feel like this number is too short. Like, if UNLV is so bad, winless, 0-6, like, shouldn't this number be like 7 or 10? Like, shouldn't San Jose State be favored by more here? And the number really...
I doubt it, because they're 3-4.
The number's very... The number's very fishy to me, and I think I like UNLV because of that. I think I'm going to take UNLV here.
How about another run? Brantley scores on a single to left. They just keep scoring. It's time to turn the Lakers game back on. I went right back to the Lakers game. So Friday night, there's even more college football. As Middle Tennessee goes to UConn. How about UConn? They finally won a football game last week. I think they beat Yale.
Yeah. I was saying to Lisi today on our show, how many people do you think going to be at that UConn-Middle Tennessee game in Hartford on Friday night at 6 o'clock? 5, 6? I mean, they're going to really pack them in at that UConn game. I mean, geez. UConn and the Blue Raiders Friday night at 6 o'clock in Hartford. I mean, tickets available.
Look at the bright side. UConn basketball is about to start.
Yeah. I'll tell you, Colorado State, Utah State, good game. That's a good game on Friday night.
That is. Colorado State's laying 3.5 in Logan. Do you think Utah State can finally win a big game. They're 4-2.
I'm on the Aggies.
They let you down every other time.
I'm on the Aggies. I don't trust Colorado State and Adazio on the road. I'm going to take Utah State.
Memphis and UCF in Florida, down in Orlando. UCF laying 1.5.
Yeah, I've made it a point not to go back to Memphis ever since they lost that game at Temple. I'm not going anywhere near them. I was on them that day, and they lost outright to Temple. I don't want any part of them.
They were laying 11 that day, and they got whacked.
Yeah, I don't want any part of them.
Here's your boy Iggy from the corner, Brick. So Washington at Arizona in Tucson. Washington laying 18. I think when it opened up, it was 15.
This is a miserable game. And let me tell you, here's the problem for Arizona. We know they suck. They're like one of the worst teams in college football. And then I saw the coach yesterday. They got their third string quarterback got hurt. Like, they basically have to hold tryouts and get somebody off the street to play quarterback for them on Friday night against Washington. Like, it's a real bad scene in Tucson right now. Real bad.
The weather's nice, at least.
Yes, they have nice weather.
So you haven't told me what you think of, at the very least, the Irish at home on Saturday against USC.
You know, Hart says that they rack them, that they destroy them. But it's never that easy with Notre Dame. It's never that easy.
With this team.
I think they'll beat them, though. They'll win the football game.
So their problem is quarterback, right? I mean, and not well, so many like, words. Look, they like, got why average play, quarterbacks.
Season's over. Like, in terms, and when I say season's over, I mean, look, they're not going to the playoff. So even if you're going to lose a couple games doing it, let Buckner take every snap. He's a freshman. That way, next year, he's got so much experience and he's ready to go. Why are we screwing around with Cone? Who cares?
Cone's awful. I agree with you. Start Buckner. Let's see what he's made of the rest of the way. The Lakers by 8 right now on the Warriors late in the third. Well, the bleeding finally stopped with the Astros. 9 runs, 9-2, they lead the Red Sox. They'll win this game, and even the series of 2, it'll be a 3-game series now. They look like they had somebody sleep with their wife, the Red Sox, after dominating the last 2 games with all their grand slams. They got punched right in the mouth tonight. That was a 2-1 game in the 8th inning with a total of 10, and it went over the rainbow at 11. That is crazy. We know the Dodgers already won. And right now, late in that game at Staples, 84-76, the Lakers lead the Warriors with 1:24 left in the third, or roughly, that's your score, 84-76. I wanted to go through really quick before we get out of here. The Stars beat the Penguins in a shootout. Radulov had the winner in that shootout on the last chance over Jari. Sabres 5-2 over the Canucks. Did I hear something tonight? They finally got rid of Eichel?
No, they have not yet, but they are 3-0.
Sharks beat the Canadiens 5-0. The Canadiens have yet to win a game. Is that about right?
That's true. What a
Panthers
shame.
Beat the Lightning's ass in Tampa 4-1. Devils 4-2 over the Kraken.
They can't lose enough.
The Capitals blew out the Avalanche 6-3, but the Avs are winning the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Everything's just fine with that great goaltender that they got from the Coyotes, Darcy Kemper. They'll be just fine.
Red Wings 4-1 over the Jackets. Islanders 4-1 over the Blackhawks. That was my top play. Hit the Predators 2-1 over the Kings. Hit the Wild in overtime 6-5 over the Jets. And hit the Oilers 6-5 over the Ducks. Strong finish tonight in hockey with all those winners we doled out. I'll see you tomorrow at 4 on Coast to Coast in the afternoon on Sports Grid TV. Good night, everybody.